A man asked his wife and the mother of his children what she would like for Mother's Day. "I'd love to be six again," she replied. So on the morning of Mother's Day, he arose early. He got up, made her a nice big bowl of Lucky Charms, and took her to the local theme park. What a day! He put her on every ride in the park, including the Death Slide, the Wall of Fear, and the Screaming Monster roller coaster. Everything the park had to offer. 5 hours later, she staggered out of the theme park. Her head was reeling, her stomach was upside down, and right away they journeyed to McDonald's, where her loving husband ordered her a Happy Meal with supersized fries and a refreshing chocolate shake. Then it was off to the movie theater, where the latest Star Wars epic was playing. She ate a hot dog, popcorn, a soda, and her favorite candy, M&M's. What an amazing adventure it was. Finally, she wobbled home with her husband and collapsed into bed, exhausted. He leaned over to his precious wife with a big smile on his face and lovingly asked, "Well, dear, what was it like to be six again?" Her eyes slowly opened and her expression suddenly changed, and she said, "You idiot, I meant my dress size." The moral of the story, even when a man is listening, he's gonna get it wrong. Men, we are never guilty of misinterpreting what our wives, mothers, and ladies that we love say, are we? That's a facetious and rhetorical question. Of course we are. Sadly, the ladies in our lives aren't the only thing that man is guilty of misinterpreting on a daily basis. How well do we know God's word? Are we capable of ministering from it, or are we simply guilty of misinterpreting it? Someone once said, there's a big difference between the books that man make and the book that makes men. A liberal minister with great show of learning exerted himself in explaining away certain passages of the Bible, saying with finality that God didn't mean what the passages obviously said. An aged attendee of the church asked him at the close of his sermon, if God didn't mean what he said, then why didn't God say what he meant? And that pastor had no answer to that question. Do we read and lead and teach what God inspired and said and wrote? Or are we misinterpreting it? And worse yet, are we changing it? Today is Mother's Day. This is a day in which we honor these special mothers and caregivers and loving ladies in our lives. Why? Well, first of all, it's because this lady back in the early 1900s determined it would have been a good idea to have a day dedicated to mothers. So good was the idea that the president signed off on it, and that established Mother's Day. But why else do we honor our mothers? I believe it's because these special ladies did their best in guiding and teaching and leading their children away from the worst. How did they do it? You see, most mothers have this phrase down because they mean it when they say it, and it is, we did it by God's grace. And that is true. How else did they do it? They did it through two things. They did it through faith, and they did it by relying upon God's truth. In Proverbs 31, one of those famous Mother's Day passages that we always read every year, we are introduced to King Lemuel, who is, verse 1 indicates, was taught at his mother's knee. Now, instantly, she gets credibility, and so does he. She dispensed great wisdom, and like mothers like her, her words are wise, as verse 26 says, and her children stand and bless her, as verse 28 says. But look at what verse 30 and 31 say of Proverbs 31. It says, charm can be deceptive, and beauty doesn't last. But a woman who fears and reverences God shall be greatly praised. Praise her for the many fine things she does. These good deeds of hers shall bring her honor and recognition from people of importance. Now, I know moms. I know my mom. And I know that you moms and my mom probably don't consider those people of importance, those people who are on TV screens, who are in movie theaters, who are on the ball diamond and on the football field. You see, our mothers consider those people of importance to be their sons and daughters. Our mothers determined that when they had those children, that they were going to bring their sons and daughters up in a way that would not only please them, but would please him. And that was their goal. And today, it still is their goal. God's mothers are truly a blessing. Miss Jones had been giving her second grade students a lesson on science. She had explained about magnets and showed how they would pick up nails and other small pieces of iron. Now it was question time. So she asked carefully, "My name begins with the letter M and I pick up things. What am I?" Little boy in the front row raised his hand and said, "You're a mom." Miss interpreted the magnet, fully understood the mother. That's what we sons do. Do we understand? Did we understand and then reflect and respect our mothers? Doesn't the Bible tell us to? Aren't we supposed to? Proverbs 1, 7 and 8 says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." Proverbs 6, 20 through 23 says this, "Young man, obey your father and mother. Take to heart all their advice. Keep everything in mind they tell you. Every day and all night long, their counsel will lead you and save you from harm. When you wake up in the morning, let their instructions guide you into the new day. For their advice is a beam of light directed into the dark corners of your mind to warn you of danger and to give you a good life." When, how, where do our mothers and where did our mother's instruction come from? Now, mothers, you might say this. You might have three choices. You might say it was ancestral. I learned it from my mother because my mother learned it from her mother, and I love my grandmother, and I saw how they did it, and we wanted to do it the same way. Some of you might say it was societal. Some of you might say, you know what, I have this cast, this group of mothers, and we lean on each other. We talk about everything. We get together. We have coffee. We bounce ideas off of each other. When we're struggling, we talk to each other. And yet many of you mothers would hopefully say this, yeah, it was ancestral. Sure, it was societal. But at the end of the day, I learned everything. And I taught everything based on God's word, which is the Bible. That's how we taught. That's how we raised our children. That's how we learned to love our children. It's based on how God loves his children. If the Bible tells children to obey and respect our mothers, then shouldn't our mothers and our fathers respect, obey, and read, and lead, and teach their children the Bible? Shouldn't they, mothers, shouldn't we, fathers, and every other believer, shouldn't we rely solely on the Bible? Mothers and fathers, how much do you appreciate an attempt to understand the Bible? Susanna Wesley was a great Christian mother, despite the fact that she had 19 children. She found time to give each child an hour's religious instruction each week. Her most renowned sons were Charles and John. They turned the spiritual tides of England toward God in its darkest hour. Dr. G. Campbell Morgan had four sons. They all became ministers. At a family reunion, a friend asked one of the sons, "Which Morgan is the greatest preacher?" While the son looked at the father, he said, "Mother." These ladies were Bible-made, Bible-bred mothers. Our mothers must have Scripture. And when they do, and when they know Scripture, and when they teach Scripture, some amazing things can happen. Let me give you an example. A soldier had been mortally wounded when Pearl Harbor was attacked. He lingered for a few days in a hospital, there dying. A chaplain came and gave him a New Testament. Before the soldier died, the chaplain visited that soldier again. Said the soldier to the chaplain, "Just as I was leaving home, my mother put her arms on my shoulders and said, 'Son, if anything should happen that you do not return, I have comfort in knowing that I will see you up yonder in glory.'" The soldier said, "I bowed my head and said, 'Mother, I'm not a Christian, and I cannot tell you that I will see you again if anything should happen.' The soldier said, 'I left my mother weeping with a heavy heart.'" "Mother is a very devout Christian. I have called you, sir," as he said to the chaplain, "to do me a favor. After I am gone, would you please write Mother, telling her that I found the Lord by reading this little New Testament that you gave me, and that I will be waiting for her up yonder." A great lady and a godly mother will know that her son is saved because the last moment, in the last breath of his life, he was able to read the scriptures and form a relationship with his Savior. Isaiah 55:11 says this, "So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Folks, what happens when we don't read God's word or do it without the help and the filling of the Holy Spirit? Is it possible, mothers, fathers, every believer, is it possible that we could do damage and ultimately do a disservice to our listeners? How important is our knowledge and understanding and our ability to read and lead and teach Scripture? I want to look at our sermon text today. It comes from 2 Timothy 2:14 through 19, and here is what that passage says. Paul's talking to Timothy. He says, "Remind your people of these great facts and command them in the name of the Lord not to argue over unimportant things. Such arguments are confusing and useless and even harmful. Work hard so God can say to you, 'Well done.' Be a good workman, one who does not need to be ashamed when God examines your work." And folks, here are those key words. Focus on these. Know what His word says and means. Steer clear of foolish discussions which lead people into the sin of anger with each other. Things will be said that will burn and hurt for a long time to come. Hymenaeus and Philetus in their love of argument are men like that. They've left the path of truth, preaching the lie that the resurrection of the dead has already occurred. And they've weakened the faith of some who believe them. But God's truth stands firm like a great rock, and nothing can shake it. It's a foundation stone with these words written on it. The Lord knows those who are really His. And a person who calls himself a Christian should not be doing things that are wrong. On Mother's Day, we celebrate all of you. Everyone that gathers here today, those mothers that have gone on before you, all of you, great ladies. But today, conversely, we are going to introduce you to four dangerous ladies. They are misinterpretation, misunderstanding, misrepresentation, and misleading. And all four of these misses are dangerous. Someone once said, if at first you don't succeed, try reading the instructions. What happens if we don't read those instructions and then choose not to reread and study and immerse ourselves in God's instructions? Is it possible then that we can misinterpret them? Now, the first lady, her name is Misinterpretation. We don't want to meet her. We don't want to know her. But sadly, in this world, we oftentimes run into her. In fact, we're seeing her more and more. Haven't we misinterpreted something that we didn't read carefully or thoroughly? That's the way it goes, isn't it, with instructions, right? I'll give you an example. We have a lawn edger. Pretty happy to have a lawn edger. And I went out and bought it. I don't know anything about lawn edgers. I have no idea. But I do know they take oil. And so in this is a different kind of machine, folks, because this is not this does not have a dipstick for the dipstick. And so what I can tell you is that I thought I wanted to be the husband, the dad, you know, the cool guy. And so I said, probably need to change the oil or at least check the oil. So I said, hey, honey, come on out and watch the man work. So I took the cap off and I looked in there. I was like, yep, needs oil. But before I did this, I'm going to tell you, we have instructions. We keep all instructions. We do for moments like this. So I got the instructions. I skimmed the instructions. And I decided it needed more oil. So I said, hey, honey, can you give me more oil? She gave me oil. I said, nah, probably needs more. Just a little more. And she gave me more. I said, just a little more. And so she gave me more. I put the cap on tight because my dad taught me, you put the cap on tight. So I put the cap on tight, set the three-wheel lawn edger back in the garage, and oil poured out from that machine all over the floor. And I'm looking, I'm like, really? Really? Now, here's my point, folks. I skimmed the instructions. What I did not do was thoroughly and carefully read the instructions. I added just a hair too much oil. And the point is that if I would have read the instructions, I would have been a whole lot happier, and my wife would have too. So with that said, how do we misinterpret God's instructions? Is it possible that we can misinterpret the written word? You ever read something in a newspaper and you misinterpreted it? I've got some newspaper. These are actual newspaper headlines. Let's see if you misinterpret these. Here's the first one. Police begin campaign to run down jaywalkers. Think about that one. You're not going to jaywalk now, are you? Is this a PG-13 class? Okay, this is okay. All right. Panda mating failed. Veterinarian takes over. Don't let your mind wander too far. All right, here's another one. Red tape holds up new bridges. Now that is a bridge less traveled. Here's another one. I like this one. Local high school dropouts cut in half. That'll make you stay in school. Number five. This one is going to take some thought, but if you're a sports fan, you'll like it. Hospitals are sued by seven-foot doctors. And they all play in the NBA. No, they're podiatrists. They're not seven-footers. And lastly, this is my favorite. I'm in the industry, so I can have fun with this one. Typhoon rips through cemetery. Hundreds dead. Or thousands or tens of thousands. Who knows how big the cemetery is. All right. A husband misinterprets his wife's wish to be a size 6 again. Jaywalkers running for their lives. People avoiding a bridge. Man, we have got to be able to interpret words correctly. Misinterpretation of the written word can be a very dangerous thing. Misinterpretation of God's written word can be an even more dangerous thing. So how do we avoid it? Well, regarding God's word, we read it, and then we reread it, and then we study it, and we talk about it, and we gather around it, and we fellowship with it, and we live by it, and it becomes every part of our being and every part and every way of our living. That is how we do it. Folks, you need to probably be introduced to Psalm 119. It is the longest psalm in the entire book of Psalms, 176 verses. It is a dedication and devotion to the Word of God, and the psalmist loves it. So he talks about the Word of God. I'm not going to read all 176 verses. I know you're panicked about that. Let me tell you, I'm only going to read 9 through 20. Here's what he says. How can a young man stay pure? Let me interrupt myself for just a moment. Mothers, you ever wondered that? You ever wondered how you can keep your son pure? You ever hoped that your son would stay pure? I know that my mom, mother of two sons, I know she hoped that her sons would stay pure. Listen to this. How can a young man stay pure? Psalmist says, by reading your word and following its rules. He says, I've tried my best to find you. Don't let me wander off from your instructions. I've thought much about your words and stored them in my heart so that they would hold me back from sin. Blessed Lord, teach me your rules. I have recited your laws and rejoice in them more than in riches. I will meditate upon them and give them my full respect. I will delight in them and not forget them. Bless me with life so that I can continue to obey you. Open my eyes to see wonderful things in your word. I am but a pilgrim here on earth. How I need a map, and your commands are my chart and guide. I long for your instructions more than I can tell. Isaiah said in Isaiah 40, verse 8, he says, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. And then when we look at 19 again from our sermon text, God's truth stands firm like a great rock, and nothing can shake it. It's a foundation stone with these words written on it. The Lord knows those who are really his, and a person who calls himself a Christian should not be doing things that are wrong. Let me ask you something. How in the world do we know what is right and what is wrong? Are we really going to trust our world leaders? Are we going to trust our teachers, our instructors, our professors? What about our caregivers? It terrifies me to think that we would send our children out and say, just listen to that person, because that person probably knows. Let me tell you the person we should listen to. It is Jesus Christ, the Word, the living Word, who gives us his words and teaches us how to live in this world. That's who we got to listen to. That is the final say. We need God more than ever. We have to know that to stay pure, we read God's Word, which is perfectly pure. Folks, if we misinterpret God's Word, it isn't because he changed it. Rather, it's because we may never have read it or studied it or even talked about it. From one dangerous lady named Misinterpretation comes another one. We know her. Sadly, we know her. Her name is Misunderstanding. these two ladies hang out together. Solomon said in Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. You see, misunderstanding is invited by misinterpretation. They hang out together. They party together. They love each other. And they're always around each other. And these two dangerous ladies can do a great deal of damage together. How do we refute these ladies? How do we turn these ladies away? We introduce God's word to these ladies. We refute their arguments. We take away their statements. We answer their questions with this word. I love Psalm 119:104. Psalmist says, and since only your rules can give me understanding, no wonder I hate every false teaching. In verse 144, that same psalm, your laws are always fair. Help me to understand them, and I shall live. Mark Twain once said this. I think it's kind of comical. He says, most people are bothered by the passages in Scripture which they cannot understand. The Scripture which troubles me the most is the Scripture I do understand. God wants us to understand His Word. If we read it daily, if we interpret it correctly, then we will understand it proficiently. Paul told the Christians at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 5, he says, God has given you a full understanding of the truth. The question is, do we want the truth? If we say yes, then we got to read this. If we say, I'm not sure about that, then you can rely upon any other teacher, instructor, professor, leader that you want to listen to. And I promise you this, they will tickle your ears and they will make you feel very, very good about what we do wrong. If you want the truth, sometimes the truth hurts. I remember when my mom used to give me the truth, and oftentimes it hurt. She didn't lie to me because she loved me. And she gave me the truth because she wanted me to be the best son that I could be. And my mom's teaching came out of this writing. And I look back on it now, and I realize that she did the right thing for me. As Dr. S. Maxwell Coter, regarding our potential misunderstanding, once said this. He says, leaning on an unenlightened understanding is quite different from the prayerful use of the faculties that God has given us to determine His will. He never asks us to abandon all sound judgment. When we are subject to His word, our understanding is illumined so that it recognizes the wisdom of His plan as it unfolds, and we give our intelligent approval. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 through 16, as we summarize, that worldly man and unsaved man regarding God's word cannot understand. If they choose to read it, and I pray that they'll read it, it is likely that they will not understand it, and more likely they'll misinterpret it. How do we fix that? Let me tell you how we fix that. These people that call themselves Christians, we people that call ourselves Christians, we better know what it says. When someone comes up and says, this is what it says, we better make sure that that's in fact what it says. Mothers, how are most misunderstandings made manifest among your children? This is an easy one. Likely it was due to a bad message. Is that accurate? My mom used to send notes. I don't know if mom, if you remember this, used to send notes. She would send notes to the bus driver, the teacher, the principal, the aide, the helper. Always notes. Chad, take this note to your teacher. Remember that? She'd write out the notes. And I'd always take the notes. Now, here's the thing about my mom. My mom's a smart lady. Because she knew if she wrote the notes, the message would not be changed. She likely didn't trust the messenger and probably didn't trust the message because she thought I would change it, lose it, or drop it. So my mom made sure, beat it into me, take the message. The point is this, folks. We can't change the message, but we'd better deliver the message. We don't want to change it. We just have to deliver it. And we have to make sure that we do the right thing with it because God's message is perfect. It's perfect. It doesn't need to be changed. It doesn't need to be altered. It just needs to be taught and shared and lived and breathed. John 1:1, in the beginning, I love doing that deep, in the beginning was the Word, capital W. You know what that means? The Word's Jesus. Word is Jesus. Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word, capital W, was with God, means Jesus was with God during creation. Here's where it gets even better. And the Word was God. Now let me tell you why that's so important. Because we believe in a triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, equal in one. But this is where this passage gets even better. Because now we know that not only can we trust God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, but we can trust the Scripture who is always, it's always been with God since the world was created. Isn't that great? You have to change it. You have to accept it and teach it and share it. And mothers, mothers, I beg of you, lean on it. It's the greatest book of wisdom ever created. Moms, I don't know how you do it. How do you put up with us kids? Let me tell you how you teach us kids. Use this to raise and lead your kids. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:16, he said, the whole Bible was given to us by inspiration from God and is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Peter said in 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21, no prophecy recorded in Scripture was ever thought up by the prophet himself. It was the Holy Spirit within these godly men who gave them true messages from God. The message is perfect. Sadly, the one who reads it and potentially misinterprets it and misunderstands it isn't. So how do we avoid these first two dangerous ladies? How do we avoid them? There's a way to avoid them. Here's how we do it. Number one, we pray before we read. We pray before we read. Psalmist said in Psalm 119, 18 and 19, open my eyes to see wonderful things in your word. I need a map, and your commands are my chart and my guide. You know what we do in Bible study on Wednesday nights? If you've never been, I'm going to give you a really good indicator of what we do. At about 6:40, when people start coming, we laugh, we talk, we share. We talk a lot of sports, sorry. We laugh, we fellowship, we talk, we share. It gets pretty rowdy in here. These Bible studiers are crazy, folks. And at 7 o'clock, we pray. Every Wednesday night, we pray. We pray before we read, and we pray before we study, because we want to make sure that God is illumining and enlightening us on His Word so we don't misinterpret or misunderstand His Word. We pray for the Holy Spirit to lead it. That's what we do. And we will never, ever not pray. Now, how else do we avoid these two ladies? We must apply common sense to what we read. And I know many of you might say, oh, well, that's elementary. Of course, you apply common sense to everything. You know what common sense is? Common sense is godly wisdom. And godly wisdom illumines these. Godly wisdom helps us to understand these. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. This comes via the Holy Spirit. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:11, no one can know God's thoughts except God's own Spirit. Jesus said in John 14:17, He is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit who leads into all truth. I love what Pastor Earl Davis says. He says the Holy Spirit is God's built-in interpreter. The Holy Spirit is paramount in hearing and not misunderstanding and misinterpreting what He wrote. Why else do we have difficulty interpreting and understanding? Here's another one. We don't ask God and God's leaders the right questions, and we don't spend enough time with godly leaders and fellow Christians. If you hang around with the wrong people, folks, you're going to get the wrong information. We have got to be spending our time with godly leaders and with fellow Christians. And I'm going to give you an example of this. I have got a cast of people. I would think probably 6 to 8 people that I lean on daily. I talk to them daily. I call them disciples. They know the Bible. I will bring up questions to them. I will bring up concerns to them. I will bring up needs to them. I will pray for all of you with them. These people are so near and dear to me. They are within my circle. And you want to know something? The buck never stops here. It never does. The buck will always go way above here. It goes all the way up to there. And I value these people. Folks, I encourage you, find those kind of people. Could be a pastor, could be one of your teachers, could be one of your fellow believers. I don't care who it is. But here's how you determine if they're worth their salt and if they're worth hearing. Are they reading? That's it. I love when people come up and say, hey, I want your opinion on this. No, you don't. Trust me, you don't. You don't want my opinion on anything. My opinion is skewed, and normally it's wrong, except with sports and music and movies. Then I'm okay. So I say, here's what you want. You're asking me a question. It's a difficult question. You want God's word. You want those facts. You want Scripture. You don't want Chad's opinion on what you want to hear. That's not it. And so that's where we go. But you got to know it. You got to read it. And folks, I can promise you this, the greatest compliment you will ever receive is when someone comes up and says, you know it. And because you know it, I want to talk to you about it. That's what we need to do. Regarding God's word, why do we struggle with this? Proverbs 27:17 says this. I love this passage. Iron sharpeneth iron. So, and this is good, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Let's hang out with iron. Let's be with iron. Iron men. How about this? Hebrews 10:25. Used to be on the old sign for the Covell Community Church years ago. There was an old wooden sign out on Route 9. I used to laugh. I think that sign has got to be like 150 years old. They put the sign up probably before they put the church up. It said Hebrews 10:25. I didn't know what it said. I didn't know what Hebrews 10:25 meant. You know what I did? I went in the Bible and read it. Here's what it says. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. There is a reason we're here today, folks. One, and number one, is to worship and praise our Heavenly Father. Today, it is to honor our mothers, but more than anything today, it is to learn God's Word and to be able to teach and share Scripture. That's the goal. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. What else do? We take God's text out of context because we don't use the God-given, Holy Spirit-driven methods of observation, evaluation, and application that is led by the Holy Spirit. And when we ignore the intent of the author, and when we change the very word of our Savior, and when we deny the one who interprets it, the Holy Spirit, we are sadly introduced to our third dangerous lady. Ugh. She's scary. Her name's misrepresentation. Philetus and Hymenaeus did this in verses 16 through 18. Steer clear of foolish discussions which lead people into the sin of anger with each other. Things will be said that will burn and hurt for a long time to come. Hymenaeus and Philetus and their love of argument are men like that. They've left the path of truth, preaching the lie that the resurrection of the dead has already occurred, and they've weakened the faith of some who believe them. This dangerous lady misrepresentation doesn't represent God, but rather the world and all of its wrong teachings and leadings and belief regarding God. And when we misinterpret and when we misunderstand God's word, we then have the capability of representing the wrong things taught in this evil world and not by our holy Lord. So how do we misrepresent God? Let me give you a good example because it's happening a lot, folks. It's when people say, God said, and he never did. And a lot of people are saying it. A lot of people are quoting Scripture, but it's not Scripture. It's their own opinions, their own ideas. These are the same people that call themselves Christians, and they go out and they share words that are not in the Bible. They say, God said, and he never did. And people are being misled each and every day. That's why we studied this article. That's why we met on two Wednesday nights to discuss this article. Because there are a lot of people out there that are reading this garbage and being misled. Satan did it. He did it in the Garden of Eden. He did it with Jesus' temptation, Matthew 4, 1 through 11. He would say, God said, when God never did. Folks, we got to know this. We've got to be able to teach this. Where misrepresentation is sadly and lastly, so is this lady named misleading. Ugh. Hymenaeus and Philetus weakened the faith of others subsequently by misleading others. These are false teachers who, as Peter says in 2 Peter 2:2, will have many following their evil teaching. Jesus says in Luke 21:8, listen to these words closely, don't let anyone mislead you. He meant what he said. Don't let anyone mislead you. The world, folks, I promise you, will mislead you. They will tell you sin is not sin. They will tell you that being a Christian looks a lot different than how God calls us to be a Christian. They will take the word and say it's not from the Lord. These are dangerous times, folks. And we have to pay attention to this time and at this time to know God's word. Folks, let me share this because I know in your minds today you may be thinking this. And I can remember that. I remember when I went to college. I remember my first like 5 days in college. It was horrible. It was horrible. Man, I lived with this guy. He was in true story. This guy was, he wanted to be a makeup artist. He'd run into the room with cuts, blood oozing off his arm. I'm like, ah! And he said, "Now look, man, it's fake." This guy was nuts. I didn't want to go to sleep at night. I had to live with this guy. He was crazy. He had all kinds of weird masks, and this guy was, he was out there. And I remember I soon after called my mom. Hey, Mom, I'm ready to come home. This ain't for me. Sure, I can help Dad on the farm changing oil, right? I'll check his oil and his lawn edger. That didn't work out too well. But here's the thing, because you get overwhelmed. And you may be today, because I know, and I'm not indicting. I think I'm guessing here, but I think I'm correct. A lot of these people in this church, they've never opened a Bible. I'm guessing a lot of you have never read a Bible. I'm guessing some of you may not have a Bible. And so it gets overwhelming. You say, wait a second, you're wanting me to teach this? I don't even read this. You got to start sometime. You know, I've seen people that are elderly that have picked up the Bible and read the Bible and shared the Bible. They had only a few years to learn the Bible, and they did it. They taught it, and they lived it. And they changed the world and their world by it. It's not too late. You see, it's too late when you take your last breath. Today, you've got breath. And so I'm encouraging you, read it. If you say, you know what, I don't know what to buy, call me. I'll tell you what to buy. I'll tell you a great Bible to buy. Read it. Jesus says, don't let anyone mislead you. Let us pray that we won't join forces with these four dangerous ladies and fall into misinterpretation, misunderstanding, misrepresentation, and misleading. Know what His Word says and means. Today, we honor our mothers. These great ladies who interpreted God's Word correctly, they understood it. They represented it, and they led and continue to lead with it. Mom, thank you for always having that Bible by you. My mom, that thing was, I mean, you talk about riding shotgun. The Bible was always shotgun with my mom. It was always there. Thank you. Thank you for the words you shared. Thank you for the words that you spoke. Thank you. I appreciate it. Mothers, you great and godly, spirit-led and spirit-fed ladies that gather here today, will you, and by the way, our fathers, We're not immune to this either. And all of us believers that assemble here today on this Mother's Day, will you and will we avoid these four dangerous ladies who lead our families in this lost world to an incorrect understanding of God's Word? I pray today that we will follow our Holy Lord, that we will lean on His Word, that we will have an appreciation and a desire to learn His Word. And that everywhere we go, and everyone we meet, and everyone we see, they would say, I want to talk to him. I want to spend time with her. I want to learn from her because she knows God's Word. If we know what His Word says and means, then others will know what God says and does. It is up to us. Mothers, it's you against the world. My question is this. Will you trust in God's Word? All right, folks, so today, normally we stand and sing. Today we're not going to do that. Today, Dan has found a song. This is good, folks. This is a song called Midnight Oil, written by Phillips, Craig, and Dean. It is an ode to mothers. And today, we're going to let you just sit back. Mothers, take a deep breath, relax, feel good about how you feel, and just watch the screen and listen to the words of this great song as we honor our mothers. Good call, Dan. Good call. All right, everyone. Mothers out there, you great mothers. And I, by the way, I love our mothers. I'm pretty proud of our mothers in this Covell Community Church. You've done a great job. Thank you for being examples. Thank you for bringing your children to Christ and for showing Jesus Christ to them. And I just pray each day that you will be strengthened in God's Word, that you're going to learn God's Word, we're going to teach God's Word and live it. And I thank you for everything that you do. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we close this service today, we close knowing that you've blessed these mothers. We're grateful for each and every one of them and the care and nurture that they give their children. And I pray today that you'll strengthen them and keep them healthy and safe. And I pray that they will desire to live in and know your and teach your Word. Thank you for this great day that you've given us. Keep us safe as we return to our homes, wherever we go, and help us to be examples and disciples before all that we meet. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Folks, before we close, we have got flowers. If many of you have said, nice decorations, you get to take those decorations. So here's what we want you to do. You got to take a flower, plant the flower, and think about Mom. And if you have a mom that's not here, like for example, maybe someone else, or somewhere else, take one for her as well. Whatever you do, spread the love. These were given to us by the special events team. This is a great honor and tribute, so make sure and take one. Give it to Mom. Have a great week, everyone.